So we talked about the SAG Award nominations for TV. Here are the Motion Picture Awards. Outstanding performance by an actor in a leading role. Timothée Chalamet, Call Me By Your Name. This kid is just blown up this year. This is his year. James Franco for The Disaster Artist. This is a nice surprise. I did not expect this. Check this out, Esmeralda. Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out got nominated for Best Actor.
Very good.
Yeah, it's a great performance, too, but I just didn't expect it. It's not the kind of performance that you would expect Oscars or SAG. You know what I mean? But it's a great performance. It was nice to see him in there. Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour and Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel, Esquire. So that's your leading actors. For Outstanding Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, Judi Dench with Victoria and Abdul, Sally Hawkins with The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, and Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird. So they went with Judi Dench instead of Meryl Streep, Dan. That's the road they went down. Because the other four are locks. Sally Hawkins, Frances McDormand, Margot Robbie, and Saoirse Ronan are all locks for Oscars.
And then they're replacing one actress who gets nominated from pretty much everything she does with another actress.
With another,
nominated
for everything. Yeah, exactly right. Who are we going to go with? Judi Dench or Meryl Streep? We nominate them every year. So there you go. There's some really, if you can find it online, you should look this up. Margot Robbie was on being interviewed by Peter Travers, maybe? On ABC, on the Good Morning America, I think, or something to that effect. She was in the middle of an interview when the SAG announcement was made. And so they tell her while she's on the air, and she freaks out. It's really very, very cool to see her, like, completely spontaneous reaction to the fact that she got nominated for a SAG and goes nuts. And also finds out that Alice and Janney got nominated as well. So, very cool. If you can, it's online somewhere. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a supporting role. Steve Carell for Battle of the Sexes. Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project. Woody Harrelson for Three Boards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water. And Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Nice to see Woody Harrelson in there. I didn't expect that. But I really think that Willem Dafoe's got this locked, man. He's winning everything. I think he's the lock, which is too bad because finally Sam Rockwell's getting some love from these, you know, awards season here because the guy's never been nominated. Sam Rockwell, Esmeralda, I don't know if you can believe this, he's never been nominated for an Oscar.
That's insanity.
It's absolute insanity. He's like one of the best actors on the planet, you know, and has been kicking ass for like 25 years he's been making movies. And, you know, and this is the first time he's going to get nominated for an Oscar, but I would love to have seen him win it. But it looks like it's going to be Willem Dafoe's year. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role. She's going to get nominated for an Oscar, Esmeralda. Mary J. Blige got a nomination from the SAG for Mudbound.
Very cool.
She's good. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't, no.
It's on Netflix. You should watch it. She's great in it. So, I mean, it's almost a guarantee that she's going to be in there. She's going to get Mary J. Blige. She's going to be an Oscar nominee. That's pretty cool. Hung Chow for Downsizing. Holly Hunter for The Big Sick. Allison Janney for I, Tonya. And Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. And best performance by a cast in a motion picture for this is the big award for the ensemble. The Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, Mudbound, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Those are all good choices, all real good choices. So we'll see what happens on January 21st. And of course, the outstanding action performance by a stunt ensemble. I know you've been waiting for this category, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm. I love my stunt ensembles.
So for stunt, I got to say, though, you know, I like the fact that the guild gives awards to the stunt people. I think that's cool, man.
That's good. And it's not in a separate.
No, it's part of the actual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a separate ceremony in a basement somewhere.
Yeah. Where they're having a rubber chicken dinner, you know. But the nominees are Baby Driver, Dunkirk, Logan, Wonder Woman, and War for the Planet of the Apes. All really good choices.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I forgot that Logan was this year.
Logan was this year, man.
I need to watch that again.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
It's a great movie. It's one of my favorites of the year. And I really think that had it come out maybe later in the year, that I think Patrick Stewart would have been nominated for Supporting Actor. I mean, I would have nominated Hugh Jackman, too, because he's so good. And the little girl so good in it. Yeah, that's a great. If you've not seen Logan, it's what I said. Dan, have you seen Logan?
No, I haven't had a chance to.
What I said after I saw Logan was, well, my favorite comic book movie is no longer Spider-Man 2. It's Logan. I think it's the best comic book movie ever made, ever. And, you know, it doesn't feel like a comic book movie at all. That's the other reason it feels like a Western. It feels like an older, you know, like an older character going through, you know, aging. But it's shot and it feels like a Western. And the action sequences are great. But it's a comic book movie, obviously. And the performances by Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart are great. Like, they are award-worthy performances. So, well, maybe the stunt guys will get the award. They're stunt doubles. Instead of them, the stunt doubles will get the recognition. So, anyway, there you go. Those are the SAG nominations. We talked about TV with Dan. We talked about the movies. So there you go. And then we'll take a break. We got weather, we got traffic, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees for 2018. We did talk about the nominees, and yeah, an interesting choice going in. So there you go. I don't listen to enough grassroots. I need to listen to more of grassroots. I keep forgetting, man. These guys were great. They had so many good songs. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. Tony requested the grassroots. Wait a million years. So there you go. Coming up after the news, everybody, it's the holiday edition of What Esmeralda Buy That? Yeah, to get you into the spirit of the holidays and get ready for tomorrow's holiday spectacular from 10 a.m. to noon, where we'll do another version of Would Esmeralda Buy That for the holidays. So that's coming up. All right. The 2018 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees have been announced. Living on a Prayer rockers, Bon Jovi, British bands the Dire Straits and the Moody Blues, and the late Nina Simone, and the Cars will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, organizers said on Wednesday. The rock-heavy 2018 list marks a return to the roots of the Hall of Fame, which for the past 2 years has broadened their base to include rap artists like the late Tupac Shakur and NWA. Bon Jovi, led by John Bon Jovi, formed in 1983 in New Jersey and remains one of the biggest acts in the U.S. music industry, releasing albums every couple of years. The band toured in the United States in 2017 in support of its This House Is Not For Sale album. So Esmeralda, expect Mary to come dancing into the traffic hut with this news that Bon Jovi is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a party later.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, really? Just for that.
A Bon Jovi Music Hall of Fame party.
Yeah, she's making a cake.
Okay, cool. Dire Straits, great band, totally deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Led by guitarist Mark Knopfler, burst to fame in 1979 with their single Sultan's a Swing. They enjoyed a succession of hits in the 80s, including Money for Nothing and Brothers in Arms. The band broke up in 95 when Mark Knopfler embarked on a solo career. The progressive 60s rockers Moody Blues are best known for hits like classical rock fusion, Knights in White Satin, and Go Now. After several changes in the lineup, the band is due to embark in January on a U.S. tour to mark the 50th anniversary of Days of Future Past. And that's not the X-Men movie. The Cars, formed in Boston in the late 70s, merged rock and synthesizer-oriented pop to produce hits like Drive, Just What I Needed, before they broke up in 1988. The band reunited in 2010, releasing the album Move Like This, and they toured in the United States in 2011. Singer-songwriter, civil rights activist Nina Simone died in 2003 at age 70 after finding fame with 60s hits and songs like To Be Young, Gifted in Black, and Mississippi Goddam. And modern artists ranging from Elton John to Kanye West have credited her with influencing their work. The inductees were voted on by music fans and 900 music industry experts and will be inducted at a ceremony and performance show in Cleveland, Ohio on April 14th. Artists that were nominated this year but not chosen for induction include British singer Kate Bush, alt-rock band Radiohead, and the Jay Giles Band. They were not chosen. So, yeah, I guess Bon Jovi, I guess they belong in the Hall of Fame. My opinion, I mean, I don't like them, but they're still consistently selling records, and people, middle-aged women, like them. So So there you go. Bon Jovi, Dire Straits, Moody Blues, Nina Simone, The Cars. I'm glad The Cars made it. That makes me happy. That's going to be it'll be cool to see all those guys. Unfortunately, Benjamin Orr passed away, so he will not be there for the induction. But they'll probably do like a nice tribute to him. I wonder who's going to. They got to do a tribute to him. I mean, their biggest hit ever, Benjamin Orr sang it. Their biggest hit ever was Drive, and Rick Ocasek didn't sing. Well, you know, it's their voices are very similar. Rick Ocasek and Ben Orr's voices are very similar because they switch lead vocals on a lot of the songs. Like if you the first album, like there are a couple of songs where it's like, who's singing that? I don't know if that's Ben Orr or if it's Rick Ocasek. But their biggest hit ever was Drive, and that's a Ben Orr song. So it's too bad he won't be there. But yeah, so there you go. Those are your rock and roll inductees. And they'll be inducted on April 14th in Cleveland, obviously. And then they'll do the big show will be on HBO. A couple weeks later, right?
Yeah.
Usually like the end of April, something right. Like that. So look forward to that. So there you go. Congratulations to the 2018 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. So
Wasn't it the band Squeeze that had that with the same thing where their biggest hit wasn't sang? By
yeah,
the lead
Paul
singer?
Carrick Paul Carrick was the lead singer who sang like 90% of the songs.
Right.
But it was the I'm blanking on his name. But he sang it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's interesting when that kind of stuff, when you're like, you,
right.
You know, like, wait a minute, he didn't sing that song? Hold on a second. So
that doesn't happen often anymore either. The band has two singers, you know, or at least one that takes kind of a lead
right.
Track on another.
Right. I mean, unless it's like a boy band where they all switch off.
Right.
Have you seen I don't know what they're called. Have you seen this Korean boy band?
No.
They were on Kimmel. Last week they were on Kimmel. It's like I think it's K5. Or something is the name.
Okay, it makes sense because K-pop, right? That's the genre.
So it's K-5, I guess. And like six guys on stage, outrageous costumes and hoodies. And they're awesome. They were awesome. And they were singing in Korean, doing the dances and the rap. And one guy standing up, taking the front. They're all doing a routine. It was insane. And the crowd was going nuts. The crowd, this was in L.A. The crowd was going absolutely nuts for them. They were on like two talk shows like 2 weeks ago performing. I'd never even heard of them. Is it K5? Can we do a search for them? They're a Korean boy band, and they all have each one of them has their own look. There's a kid with dreads. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about.
That's all K-pop bands, FYI.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. Like they all, there's a bunch of people on stage. There's between like five and
yeah, these guys that were
ten.
There were like eight guys on stage.
Yeah, and they all have their looks.
Yep, yep.
And they all do dances.
I thought. Have you seen a bunch of these guys?
I actually was just watching the Korean channel.
Yeah,
and they were doing. It was like a music not concert, but like top hits or whatever. And they were all live performances of K-pop bands, and it was just crazy to watch because they're all just so slick.
Oh yeah, no, it was
everything is on point.
It was hypnotic, Esmeralda. I wasn't aware that this was a really big thing.
Yeah, it's
huge.
But
when I watched this performance on Kimmel, and I was like, man, these guys are unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's really hard to start that. It's usually, I mean, these are all for the most part from record labels,
right?
That are just, they're mass produced, but they're very like trained for years and years.
You can tell. You can tell the performances were unbelievable. The performance was unbelievable. And on top of it, I had no idea it was big in America. Girls were climbing fences outside of Jimmy Kimmel's studio. They were like hanging on the fences to watch them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's still in other countries, there's still a lot of boy bands.
Yeah.
That level of like that we saw with Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Pretty crazy.
BTS.
BTS, that's what they are. That's the band right there. BTS, Esmeralda. Those are the dudes that I saw on Jimmy Kimmel and was mesmerized by. They were awesome.